Amen.
Okay. Now put your phone on mute, otherwise we'll get back. Just put it over by the side.
Yep.
Okay. Good evening. It's nice to see you. Don't worry the fact that nobody's here because next week they'll be back in and out. That's just the way it is. I spoke to somebody today that I expect the next week or the week after they will start. So that's just the way people are. And the kind of material we teach, as you're getting a sense of it, and you know from your previous spiritual work, it's not everybody is connected to it. Not everybody is sensitive to energy. So it makes a difference. Today's class is really the first tool, direct tool, that you can use in your life that over a 3-month period, you will see whatever chaos you have in your life will be diminished. And it's really, you will see it work if you're looking to see it work. But let's kind of go over it. But I'm going to hand you these things, but don't look at them as three different ideas so that you don't get confused, because it's somewhat overwhelming. As we discussed in the first class, and you quite well reiterated it in the second class, the world is an illusion. And because it's an illusion, we make mistakes. We don't perceive things as what they are. We perceive them as we want to see them, as we're programmed to see them as part of our culture, as part of our families, as part of everything as we perceive it. But if you are interested in seeing truth, you will see truth. Now, the question is, what did God use to create? In all the various dimensions, and we haven't really resolved or discussed the various dimensions, but there are various dimensions. There's the physical world. There's a spiritual world. There's three spiritual worlds. And within each of those worlds, physical world itself, there's an animal kingdom, which is a world unto itself. Yes, it interacts with humans because humans destroy the environment. The humans interact with the environment, and that affects the animal. But essentially, the animal kingdom is a separate world within our physical world. What did God use to make all of these different creations? What was his tool?
Language.
You have an answer?
Words.
That's correct. The first, it says in the Torah, in the Bible, it says there was evening and there was morning, day one. God said, let there be light, and there was light. So he created with words. But what creates the words?
Thought.
Ultimately, the start is thought. But there's an intermediary step. A word is composed of what? Sounds, which are letters. Why did God create letters, and what is their purpose? He created letters to transfer spiritual energy to physicality. He created letters so that we would transfer our thoughts in a way that another person can understand it. I can give somebody an order. Maybe they'll do it, maybe they won't. That's free choice. I can make a suggestion. Maybe they'll do it, maybe they won't. That's free choice. All of these different things, I have the thought, you have a thought, but we communicate with words, and words are composed of letters. And the purpose of letters is to transfer energy. Now, do all letters transfer energy? You grew up speaking Russian, and you also probably another a cultural language. I remember you were from Kiev.
Oh, me.
Yeah, Byelorussia.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a different language in the people of Byelorussia than there is in Russia itself.
Mm-hmm.
All of these different languages, we know they came at the moment of the Tower of Babel story in the Bible. What was the purpose of all of those different languages? And what did people speak before that?
Wasn't there one language before that?
That's exactly what the Bible says. There was one language. And what we find is the gematria in Hebrew letters of the phrase one language is the same as the holy language. Now, if you ask any person in today's world, what is the holy language? They will tell you it's Hebrew. Can we prove that? No. It's a hint that the gematrias, the number value of the two phrases, are the same. It leads you in the right direction to say, oh, this makes sense. They must be. Eventually, you will come to understand, you will come to know, as we discussed the difference between belief and knowledge, you will come to know that the Hebrew letters and the Hebrew language is the holy language. It is that one language before it was confused by the Tower of Babel incident. But these letters are designed and created with the purpose in God's mind, his thought, I need to be able to transfer energy to these creations that I have made. Human beings, animals, plants, rocks. They're all energy. They draw energy. They receive energy. And the way you receive the energy, what is the tool to receive the energy? To transfer the energy is the letters. Now, with this in mind, I'm going to suggest some tools that use the Hebrew letters. And the typical response of a student is, I don't understand what they do. I don't understand what they say. It's not my language. And the answer to that statement is, you don't have to understand. You just have to allow the letters to do their work. When I started to learn, after a couple of years, I agreed to be roommates with an Israeli man who spoke Hebrew. I don't speak Hebrew. I didn't speak Hebrew. I didn't understand Hebrew. He would be taught in a class, and he would knew what the guy was saying. I didn't. But what my teacher said was, and it made sense to me, your eyes are the window to your soul. So when you receive light into your eyes, you're receiving energy. If you understand what you are receiving, you are limiting what you are receiving. How does that work? Visualize a camera or understand the process of a camera. You look through a lens. The lens sees the room, but you have to focus the lens. when you first look through it, it's blurry, but you're receiving the whole room. When you focus the lens, you turn the lens and you start to focus, it's no longer the whole room. It's just this that I'm focusing in on. I'm receiving less energy, but in a clearer way. That's the way the camera works. That's the way our minds work. If I understand it, it's not all of the energy. It's only what I'm capable of understanding at that moment. The letters and the tools that I will teach you tonight, the purpose of those letters, the purpose of these tools is to remove chaos. It works. Is it logical? I don't understand it. It works. And we have the rule I told you in the first class. Never believe what I'm saying. But please try what I'm saying. So what I am saying is, for the next 3 months, the tools I teach you tonight, I want you to do every day at least once. Not that you're going to understand what you're doing. Yes, you're going to feel very foolish doing it. When I told you about my roommate, he would watch me. Because for an hour a day, I would look at Hebrew letters. I had no idea what I was reading. I could sound those letters out, but I couldn't read them. I didn't understand them. Many people aren't able to sound it out because they don't know the sounds of the Hebrew letters. They receive more than I do if I'm sounding it out. Because that sound is limited to what I have been taught, to how I understand it. It's counterintuitive. Uh-huh. We're taught in the Western world, and I include Russia in the Western world, we're taught in the Western world that logic, understanding is what's paramount. But energy transfer is much more than that. We transfer energy that we don't see. Television. Right now, as I move my hand through the air, I am affecting television waves. They're there because if I had a receptor, a television set, it would show a picture. I'm impacting all of that. Energy is there, but only if you're receptive to receiving it. And what is the reception? Please just do what I'm asking you to do for the next 3 months. At the end of the 3 months, if you feel that nothing has changed, chalk it up. Say, thank you. This is not for me. And I have never had any student do that. If they do the work for the 3 months, they'll always come back and say it works. Sometimes they'll come back and say this work is too hard. And I promise you, the work is not easy. Scanning it, as we will talk about, is easy to do. But your mind races as you do it. Your mind is connected to the negative system as well as to the positive system. So as you do these actions, the negative system is trying to get you to stop. So you'll have all kinds of thoughts. What am I doing this? This is crazy. Push through that. Make an agreement with yourself. Because it makes no difference to me if you do it, you don't do it. It will make a difference to you. Push through it. Do the work. Try it. Prove it to yourself. Experience it for yourself. With that in mind, There are three tools that we are given, all connected to the Hebrew letters. The Torah, the Bible, was written, was given to Moses at Mount Sinai with Hebrew letters. There's an argument, it's an intellectual argument. Was the letters that we use in the scroll today the same as the letters that Moses received, that Moses wrote? Because it doesn't say that Moses received the letters, it says Moses went up on the mountain and he received two tablets of stone, and he brought the stone, the tablets down, and then he threw them away and crushed them to keep the people of children of Israel from committing adultery, because they were being married to God metaphorically, which is what the Catholic Church teaches about the priests and the nuns. That's why they don't get married, because they're married to God. That's what Moses brought down to the children of Israel, but they had built a golden calf, and therefore they were committing adultery. So in order to protect them, he threw the tablets away and they broke. He did teshuvah. He asked God to forgive the children of Israel. He went back up the mountain and he got a second set of tablets. And that's what we know as the Ten Commandments, although they're not commandments. So please don't think they're commandments. We'll talk about over the classes what they are. But don't make the mistake, because the language that you use affects how you think. It's been proven scientifically. You know what I'm talking about. The letters, the first tool is that scroll we call the Torah. It's written with Hebrew letters. Every Saturday in a Jewish synagogue, that scroll is read. It's read out loud. It's chanted out loud. It's not really read, it's sung. That scroll has a purpose. The hearing of that sound of those letters, of those words, has a purpose. It's not the purpose of what it literally is saying. The purpose is to receive the metaphysical energy that you need in your life for next week. Why do you need it? Because every energy has a positive and a negative side, a negative aspect, a positive aspect. Every energy. I don't care what it is. If I take an air conditioning unit, a 220-volt air conditioning unit, a window air conditioning unit, I plug it into that plug over there. That's a 110 plug. Is the air conditioner going to work right? Why not?
Well, the voltage don't match.
The voltage don't match. They're the wrong... The energy that is read, that's put into the space of that synagogue, is more than any one person is receiving. Each person receives what they need. So the first tool, which I don't expect you to do right away, but you'll find that it will start to make sense, is to come and listen to the reading of the Torah. I'm not saying go to a Jewish synagogue and pray.
I wouldn't mind. There.
Well, there is an issue with many Jewish synagogues that non-Jews, when you first go there, you're not made welcome.
Exactly.
And there's another issue, because I'm saying to do it Saturday morning, and there are some synagogues that read the Torah Friday night.
Oh, really?
And what's the difference? The timing of the reading is important. because the energy of Saturday morning is different than the energy of Friday night, even though both are part of Shabbat.
Why are they increasing their services?
The answer to that question is the differences in people. The fact that there were 12 tribes. Children of Israel consist of 12 sons of Jacob. Each son was a progenitor of a tribe, whatever. In the Torah, it tells us that Shimon had 66,000 men, which meant the equivalent number of women and children from the marriages. So while it says in all 12 tribes there were 600,000 men, we're really talking about approximately 2.5 to 3 million people. That's what left Egypt and walked in the desert for 40 years. Mm-hmm. Now, the reason why Friday night works for some people and Saturday is for others is because they don't understand this concept that perfection means energy in the right place at the right time. If the time is wrong, you may get some of the energy, it may work part of the time, but it's not perfect. If you get energy in a location at the right time, it's still not going to be perfect if that's not the right location. It's time, space, and motion. Time, space are very real. Energy, time, and space are the three aspects of what Kabbalah is teaching you. What is the energy? What is the location that makes that energy the best, the most perfect? And what is the time that makes it the most perfect? I'm sorry? Time is the trickiest. Well, I'm gonna speed ahead and say, ask you the question, what is time? Actually, we do. I'm not talking about 6:30 or 7. Time, by definition in Kabbalah, is the space between cause and effect in order to teshuvah. Because a human being is going to make a mistake. Now, many religious people call that a sin. We don't use the word sin. It's a mistake. It can be corrected. Remember we said we're here to make corrections? Last week that was part of the class. We make mistakes. We make corrections. We fix the mistakes. When I make a mistake, I have caused, and the effect is chaos. How do I remove that chaos? By fixing the mistake. But how can I go back and make and fix something that happened yesterday? How do I go back and fix something that happened 100 years ago? Last lifetime. I'm not going to go into it. It would take too long. But we will eventually answer those questions in the next few weeks.
So the time is not perceived as linear?
No, time is definitely not linear. You can go backwards in time. But the problem that science has with something going backwards in time is if I go back in time and I meet my great-grandmother and kill her, God forbid, how do I exist? And we will explain exactly how that works and how it does it. It isn't that I will disappear and not exist. Because there are different timelines and there are different dimensions. And they all collapse into our physical perceptions as we move forward. But it's complicated right now. Let's start using the tools and then you will have the ability to understand this in a much deeper way. So the first tool I'm teaching you is the Hebrew letters from the Torah Saturday morning, which means you have to find a place, a synagogue, where it's read, because it will only be read in a group of 10 people or 10 men, depending on your definition of a person. But you can go online, and there is an organization called Kabbalah for All, Kabbalah, the number 4, ALL.com. And you can check it out, and he does services Friday night. Or you can go to the Kabbalah Center, and they do services Saturday morning, but they'll charge for their services, so, which I don't approve of, but that's they have the right to do what they have, you know, what they want to do. And as I said, I don't expect you to do it right away, but you'll find that since these other tools I'm about to explain to you work, this, and this is the strongest one, the reading of the Torah.
Yeah.
Because it's giving you all of the protection energy that you need for what is in the universe next week.
But honestly, if I just go to a synagogue,
mm-hmm.
I mean, it's not like the open walk that's
in. No, no, they will always let you in.
Right.
But it's a question of you don't understand it. It's rituals that you're not used to. It's not in English. It's in Hebrew. By the time you turn around, you feel uncomfortable. Exactly. Yeah. It's exactly what you've experienced it in a different way. The difference is what I'm explaining to you is it's not about understanding it.
Mm-hmm.
It's about energy transfer.
Yeah.
So if you can find one, if not, there are online, there are places.
Mm-hmm.
Now, given that, that's tool number one. We call that the Torah. The next tool that is the strongest is the set of books called the Zohar. We read those every class. I didn't tonight because we're talking about what they are. The Zohar is a commentary on the Bible, on the Torah. The Torah says the sins of the father are visited on the children up to 3 or 4 generations. You may be aware of that statement. Elsewhere, the Torah says that no person is punished, receives the effect of mistakes that another person made. How do you reconcile these two conflicting statements? The Zohar explains the code words and how to understand the literal meaning that isn't literal. It's multi-levels. So when the Bible says the sins of the father affect the children for 3 or 4 generations, it's talking about reincarnation. The father is the original mistake, the original sin of that person. The 3 or 4 generations of children are the 3 or 4 reincarnations of the same soul. So it's never a different person or the children are receiving the effect of the father. It's the same soul receiving the effect of his own mistake. A totally different way of understanding what the Bible says. And where we get that is called the Zohar, this book of 22 volumes, which is online for free at a place called Zohar.com. And these papers is giving you all of the information of where to go. I am recommending, there's another website called dailyzohar.com. That will send you an email every day with two or three verses of the Zohar. He won't explain them. He won't translate them. At Zohar.com, you'll get the English translations. The Daily Zohar, he doesn't translate it. He just explains its energy, makes the connection to it by looking at the letters, listening to his voice on a recording, reading it, and you're receiving the energy. And that's what's helpful. And I'm recommending that you sign up for that. He is a Kabbalah teacher, but he doesn't teach. He just tries to unify all of the different groups of teachers and their students to connect to the energy through the Zohar. That's his goal. And we're utilizing that as a tool. That's why I recommend you do that. What I'm really saying is every day, at least two, three verses you look at, you scan. What you learn to understand, you won't understand at the beginning, but over time you will. You'll find that connection. But it's all up to you. But for the 3 months, every day, look at two or three verses. It does have meaning. It takes me that long to teach all of the tools that Kabbalah has to remove chaos from your life. That doesn't mean that at the end of 3 months you will have removed all the chaos, but you have all of the tools for the rest of your life. You never have to take another Kabbalah class. You'll want to, because there's always deeper levels, there's always more to learn. But the basic tools in those 20 weeks, which is actually 4 months, but the 3 months is the majority of the tool to remove chaos. The last month is on a different level. So you have these two, I've set now two tools, the reading of the Torah Saturday morning, and daily, the Zohar, which is truly the soul of the Bible, the soul of the Torah. I'm making a statement, don't believe it, but over the 3 months you'll come to understand what I mean by that. Everything in our world has a body and a soul. It has external and internal. We know that. We intuitively know that. Can I prove it to you? What do I mean by body and soul? How do you define a soul? What's the difference between the soul and the body? Well, we have what science calls the autonomic nervous system and the conscious nervous system. They have another word, I forget what it is. But if you go to a baby goes to touch a hot stove, it's painful. He retracts before he can think. Before he realizes it's painful, his body has moved his hand away. Why does that happen? It's the difference between the body consciousness that wants to be without pain no matter what, and the soul, the curiosity, the mind that says, let me touch this to see what it is. It's painful, I move away. The only animal that runs into a forest fire is man. Every other animal is running away from the fire. Man, oh, that's interesting. Let's move forward. body and soul. So those are the two of the three tools I'm going to give you tonight. Both tools relate to the Hebrew letters. The third tool is also to be done every day. And it's a little complicated, but not really. The brown paper. Hebrew is read right to left, top to bottom. In English, it's left to right. In Russian, it's left to right. In Chinese, it's right to left. In Hebrew, it's right to left. What is the difference? It's a very significant difference, which we're not going to understand tonight. But the essence of it is when you go, the right side of your body is your sharing side. The left side of your body is receiving. That's why people shake hands with the right hand. It's a sharing side. You don't shake hands with your left side. It's just children don't shake hands. Instinctively, they don't shake hands with their left side. Because the right side. So when you're going from right to left, that language is a sharing language relative to a language that's going left to right. And if you look at the differences in the nations and people who speak with languages going right to left versus people who speak with left to right, where are the majority of the larger economies in the world are left to right speaking languages? The United States being the perfect example, you know, the most well-known example. China is just recently starting to come up in the world. And how are they coming up in the world? Because of the population. So per capita, the United States is much more economically strong than China. But in totals, China's got more people, and therefore their economy is larger. This paper that I'm handing you is a 42-letter name of God. It is the name that God used to create all of the creations in the universe. So God created love. God created time. God created people. God created phones. All of these things are created by that 42-letter name. But you're looking at 42 words. Six words in each line. Seven lines is 42.
Right.
At the end of each line, you see six letters. Now, you don't know what the letters are, but if you look at the shapes of what's on the printed page, to the first letter of each word, you'll see that they're the same. So what has taken place is God used 42 letters. Man said, this is too much energy, especially in the last 500-600 years as we have fallen spiritually. Man has said, that's too much energy. Let's damp it down by having a word connected to each letter. So it's called, the prayer is called Ana B'Koach after the first two words. We sing it. Now, on the white piece of paper here, I'm saying to you, go to YouTube, type in Ana B'Koach, and start listening to different songs, different chants, different melodies, different understanding, to whatever extent you're willing to do so, find a song that resonates with your soul, because it will be easier for you to memorize it when you're singing it. Also, when we get together with more than one person, we will find that each person has different songs that they want to sing it with, that resonate with it. I have a song that makes sense for me, resonates with my soul. Other students have other songs. When we first start singing, as we will do so tonight, and from now on, every class we will start with a verse from the Zohar and a singing of the Anabatoa. The reason why is because we are bringing the energy of holiness and the energy of creation into our space. It enhances the tenor and the tone and the information that is being presented. The Anabakoa is a prayer that is only said by some of the Jewish people, and then only Friday nights. It's not said other than that, except for the Kabbalists who say, anytime you have an issue, you can't go to sleep, say the Anabakoa. You need to be waking up early in the morning and you're really tired, you didn't have a good night's sleep, so the Anabakoa. It's different. It's very normal. I'm running out of power, but it's okay. The whole idea of the Anabakoa is to bring creation into you. And creation includes everything. So what do you need? You need to wake up. It's in creation. You need to go to sleep. It's in creation. You need to heal yourself. It's in creation. Every energy, and nothing is not energy. Everything is energy. The Anabatoa includes everything, all of the energy. We don't receive all the energy because we're limited by our bodies, by our physicality. We receive what we're capable of receiving, and no more. So it will never harm us. Now, I'm going to sing the song, and before I sing it, I'm going to explain. There are seven verses. There are 7 days in the week. So on Monday, it would be the second day of the week, which is the second verse. When I'm saying that verse, I'm connecting to the energy of that day. It's now Thursday, when I say the fifth verse, that's the energy of Thursday. By having that in my consciousness, I know what's going on. I also have 12 months in the year. Actually 13 somewhat, but I'll explain that in another class. 12 months in the year, the verses relate to the certain months, and the letters of those months that created those months, I need to connect to the verses connected to that. So we're using the Anabakoa as a meditative tool to receive the energy connected to the months of the year, the day of the week. Everything is in there. And so we change which verse we meditate on. But actually, all seven verses have meditations every day. So you can say the Anabakoa and take 3 hours. Or you can say the Anabakoa and take 2 minutes. Depends on your life, your time schedule, what you're willing to do, what you need to do. Someone is overwhelmed by their life. We've all had periods in our life where sometimes we're overwhelmed. What do? You say the Anabakoch. When you get finished, if you're still not calm, if you're still not balanced, say it again. And again. And again. Until you find yourself balanced. You have calmed down. You feel back in control. That's this tool. It's the third strongest tool I've given you. But it's the one you will use the most. So I'm going to start to read it. But what I'm going to explain to you, this chart is we will, on one verse every day, and it will be a different verse every day, because and based on the month of the year, we're going to scan the Tetragrammaton, the four-letter name of God, Yud Hey Vav Hey. Because if you look at this chart properly, there are 17 boxes. And you follow the boxes, follow the numbers. When you scan it in that order. But that box is really a metaphor. It's a description of your body. And so you are bringing healing energy to your body every time you do that. So at least once a day, you add this chart into the Anabakoth. So, reiterating what you are to do before I sing the Anabakoth, think about going to the synagogue Saturday morning. Connect to verses from the Zohar every day and sing the Anabakoah every day at least once and as more times as you need. But at least once, connect to this chart within the Anabakoah. Now, please forgive my voice, but this is a song that resonates with my soul. Find the one that resonates with you, and there's like 500 different YouTube videos with the Anabakoah. Anabakoah, Gedulat Shemincha, Tati, When you finish the sixth word, you say the names of the letters. Aleph, Bet, Gimel, Yud, Tav, Tzadi. Since you may not know the names of the letters, just scan them. The left side, there's six letters in a row. Those are the first letters of each word. Just scan them right to left. That verse, those six letters, have a number value, a gematria, of 506, which is the same gematria of a phrase in Hebrew, Ahavat Hinam, which translates as unconditional love. So that's the meditation of the first verse. Connect to love. It's connected to Sundays. So on Sunday, connect to what is that energy of love for your week. Second verse. Kabel rinat amcha sagvenu taharenu nora kufre shayin sintet nun. These six letters spell two Hebrew words. The first three letters spells the word Kra. The second word spells the word Satan, which is Hebrew for Satan. The first word, Kra, means to tear up. Second word is the name of the negative system, the negative force that gives us free will. Tear up Satan. That's the meditation for Monday. Why do we call Monday Blue Monday? Why does every society speaks about a negative aspect of Monday? Why? Because Monday is the second day of the week. And the number two feels a lack because it's not the number one. It's not unified, it's separated. And that's the lack of Monday, and that's why Monday is called Blue Monday. And there's all the craziness goes on. And people will tell you, but it's Monday is a problem because it's the first day of the week, of the work week. It's not, that's the effect. The cause is this energy of Monday, of the second day of the week. But if you're tearing up the negative system, that's the consciousness to have on Monday. Now, those same six letters can be rearranged to spell two other Hebrew words, Sha'ar Katan. And that those two words mean small gates. And what is a small gate? Our eyes, our ears, our nose, and our mouth. Because this is how the negative system gains entry to our body, to our soul. If we put guards on those gates, the negative system will never bother us. But we don't do it. We forget. We fall asleep. We think negative thoughts, and then we verbalize those negative thoughts. Kra Satan, the Anabakoah, everything is in creation. This is how you control chaos. The third verse. Na Gibor Dorshei Yehudcha Kevavat Shamrem Nun Gimel Dalet Yud Kashin Nun Gimel Dalet. Those three letters have a gematria of 57, which is the same as the Hebrew word Zan, Zion Nun. Zan means parnasah. It means sustenance. It means every desire you have being fulfilled. The next three letters, Yud Kaf Shin, is a healing sequence that allows you to take any part of your body that needs healing back to its stem cell state, where it can be cleansed, where it can be healed, and where it can be ultimately be rejuvenated. And then you take that part of your body that needed healing and put it back in the body. Now, this is a meditation that you utilize on the third verse. Again, creation has everything. The fourth verse. Barchem tacharem rachame sidkatcha tamid gam leim betet resh tzaditav gimel. The fourth verse connects us to the Sefirah, to a particular level of consciousness that connects to the eternal victory. Victory can be, today I won the battle, but I've lost the war over time, God forbid. Eternal victory is that I've won the war, I've won the battle, and I keep going on winning. This is the connection to the fourth verse. The fifth verse. Chasin kadosh berov tuvcha Na'el adata Tet Kuf Bet Tet Nunayan. These six letters connect to the Sefirah, to the consciousness of appreciation and thankfulness. Because without that, we lose everything. If you don't appreciate what you receive, why would you get more? What, does a parent give the child again and again and again if the child's not appreciating? Some do, and what do they end up with? Spoiled children. The sixth verse. Yachid ge'e lamcha p'nei zokrei kedushata yud gimel lamed hezayin kuf. This verse connects to the energy of creativity and sexuality. This verse connects to your spine that supports your body. It connects to your sexual organs. Where does your sex originate? It originates in the mind, and then it runs down the spine to the sex organs. But what is sex? It's an aspect of creativity, of creation. That's why children come through sex. The seventh verse. Shavatenu kabel ushma tziakatenu yodeya talumo shinkufav zadiyuta. The first two letters have a gematria of 400. 400 is four, the four worlds, times 10 sephirot within 10 sephirot. 4 times 10 times 10. All of the positivity in the world. And yes, also all of the negativity in the world, because God created this oppositeness. There is always, whatever is good is also potentially harmful. It's learning how to utilize it, how to navigate it, how to eliminate that negativity out of your life. But the number 400 is representing all of the positive things. Now the next four letters have the same gematria as the first verse, 506. And as I said, it connects to the phrase ahavatinam, unconditional love. And what do we learn from this? That the path to completion, the path to the elimination of negativity, the path to perfection, is by injecting unconditional love in every step that we go through, each aspect of our life. Now, the eighth verse, we say in a whisper. I'm going to read it out loud for the purposes of teaching. But we say it in a whisper because what this verse does is you have drawn, by saying these seven lines, these seven verses, you have drawn all of the energy of creation. And that's more than you can handle. What happens if you don't do something with that excess energy? It's going to hang around you and create chaos around you because energy came and isn't being utilized. It's an abuse of energy. It's a negative act. So you need to ground that energy. You need to send it back where it came from. And that's what that eighth verse says. Baruch Shem Kivod Malchuto Leolam Vaed. You're taking that energy and grounding it, just like an electrical ground, so that the energy gets handled and gets sent back to where it belongs to, instead of hanging around you waiting to create chaos because you're not using it properly. You receive the energy you can handle, and you ground everything else. These eight verses is what we say every day at least once. Read it, say it. You have it in the transliterated English. You'll learn it over the next 2-3 months. It's the faster you memorize it, the easier it becomes to say it when you're out of sorts, because you don't have to look for a piece of paper. You already know it. you've already memorized it. So the faster you get to that level, the better you will be. But I've had people who've taken 6 months to remember it. If you have the paper, if you lose the paper, I'll give you another one. This is it. But these are the three tools that if you start using, you'll find chaos being reduced in your life. Any questions?
I guess the best result will start when
for best results? Remember what I said. If you understand, you limit. Mm-hmm. For best results, don't learn Hebrew yet.
Oh, interesting. Yeah.
When you're ready to learn it, you will feel a drive to learn it. But if you do it now just because, oh, I have to do this, you haven't seen the tool work. You haven't tested it.
Yeah.
Test it. In the Torah, it says in one place, it says that there's a Shemitah, there's a seven-year cycle to everything. So the land has to lie fallow for a year. And where are you going to eat? We're talking about an agricultural society. What are they going to eat? Nobody has food. Food didn't go into refrigerators. It was what you grew today is what you ate next week. And it didn't last longer than a season, 90 days, 3 months, which is part of why I say 3 months to you. What do we do? The Shemitah, in the Torah, it says, I promise, God promises, if you do what I say you should do, I recommend these to you, if you do them, I will give you enough food in the seventh year to go through the eighth year and the beginning of the ninth year. Because in the seventh Shemitah, there becomes a jubilee, a yovel, which is the 50th year. And you don't grow anything in the 50th year either. So you had to go through normally 7 years of the Shemitah. And so there was no crop in the seventh year. So what did I eat in the eighth year? But in the Yovel year, in the Jubilee year, you didn't grow the seventh year, so what did you eat in the eighth year? And then what did you eat in the ninth year? Because that eighth year was the Jubilee. God says, do what I suggest. You'll find there will be enough crop in the sixth year to take you through the seventh, the eighth, and the first part of the ninth year until your new crop comes in. Test me. Torah says, test me. Test God. I'm saying the same thing to you. Test the Anabakoah. There will come a time when you'll say, I do need to learn Hebrew. Not to speak it, but to be able to study it. But not now. When you're ready, you'll know.
It's just like a very new concept.
It's a...
Yeah.
The Russian culture is very oriented to intellect. You have to go to school. You have to learn. You have to be able to present logic. But your intuition is never logical. It's what it tells you. It's what your unconscious is saying to you. And in Western world, we have learned not to hear our intuition. The Anabakoach is going to help strengthen your connection to your own intuition to know when it's what it's telling you and when it's telling it to you. And as you find that, you don't give up the logic. But there's balance between the intuition and the rationalization, the logic of life. So it's not that you learned wrongly, but you didn't learn in a balanced way. You learned only logic. And you were told to forget your intuition, weren't you? As a child, as you grew up, as you went to school. Not to trust your intuition. And it's out of balance in the Western world. And the purpose of the Hebrew letters is to bring you back into balance. That's tonight's class. And next week I'll have another tool to add that's based on the Hebrew letters.
This is like the most illogical class I've ever done.
It's illogical? Are you telling me?
I have no question. That's the thing.
Because you haven't used the tool. You will have questions. Maybe even not next week, but 3-4 weeks from now, when you've done it every day, and you'll start to see things. You'll start to feel things again. And how do I handle this? I don't know. I can't trust it. I was taught not to trust it, and now I'm feeling it again. I'm seeing it again. What do I do with this? You'll have questions, and I will be here to answer them. Not necessarily that you have to wait till Thursday night. Come, call me. You have my phone number.
Mm-hmm. Great. Thank you.
If you want to send me an email, I'll send you the recordings of the classes, which you can then listen over and over again. And because I say so much in any given class, it's so much material, it's overwhelming. You can't absorb it in an hour. And you need to hear it again and again. Question is, who has time to hear things over and over again? So, over your lifetime, you'll hear it over and over again, and that's why we have recordings. So, when you're ready, if you want to send me your email, I'll send you. And I'll send you some of my other classes, all of my other classes, and again, what you have time for, you do, and what you don't have time for, you delete.
Recordings, actually, I'm in the car a lot, so I can't do myself.
When I started to study Kabbalah, when I was starting to learn Hebrew, that moment, that time when I'm ready, there was a class, and there is a class called 10 Luminous Emanations that basically teaches what's called the Tree of Life. And I know you've heard the term before. Mm-hmm. It teaches the Tree of Life. It teaches creation at a very deep level. It consists of the class that I listened to consisted of 600 hour to hour and a half. They were really an hour and a half to 2 hour recordings, 600 of them. I heard every one 3 times. It was the only way I could understand what I heard. And I couldn't even understand it then, but it came and it settled and it balanced. When you're ready, if that's the path that you want to follow, you'll do it. But not everybody is supposed to learn Kabbalah the way I learned it and to teach it the way I teach it. Everybody has their own path, their own purpose in life. So you'll decide what's right for you.
Mm-hmm. Just one question from last class.
Sure.
Because that was, really confusing to me. And I wasn't just sure I can ask properly, but I'll try. Talking about the life and the vessel, and then that the source of all the confusion is something kind of like when he was on the vessel, something like that.
Chaos comes from a vessel that's too small for the light that wants to be revealed. We talked about the air conditioning unit. If I put it to 220 into the 110, it's going to blow up. Why? Because the vessel, the 220, isn't in the right connection to the light, which is the electricity in the walls. Is there enough electricity in the wall to run the 220 air conditioner? The answer is yes, but it's not connected in the right way. That's what creates chaos. That's what creates pain and suffering. The vessel cannot handle the light that it's receiving.
The concept of something like that.
Simsum? Simsum.
Are you talking about that though?
Yes.
That's my question. Okay.
That's the initial paradox. Simsum means God withdrew into himself.
Right.
Again, this is a metaphor, but if you have a bowl filled with water, how do you have space for more water? How do you have space for someone to make a mistake and correct it? How do you have space for something to grow? The only way you can have space if some of the water is taken out. But God is everywhere. So you can't take God out. There's no place outside of God, because God is everywhere in everything. So how does God make space for you and I to make mistakes? He withdrew into himself. Now, if you think about it, if I take a cubic centimeter of water and put it elsewhere in the bowl, is there any room for that elsewhere, for that cubic centimeter? Its space was where it is in the middle of the bowl. I can't move it anywhere else. And so the concept of withdrawing into God, God withdrawing into himself, creating a space that's empty of God, that's a paradox. Because if God is truly empty, then he's not perfect. That's the Tzimtzum. That's the paradox, the initial paradox. There are others along the way. But that's what I spoke about.
Okay,
that God withdrew into himself, leaving an empty space that he could then come back into in a limited way. And when he came back into that empty space in the limited way, that became us. He created us in that empty space. He created the body. The soul was always part of God. And that's why we feel a yearning to be close to God. But what do we mean close to God? Does that mean I have to travel somewhere to get next to him? Is he distant from me? No, he's right here. But I don't sense him, which means I have to open myself so that I can be like God. So people say, I want to get close to God. What they're really saying is, I want to be like God. And to be like God, I have to follow the attributes of God. Don't make yourself crazy over this.
Yeah.
It's a lot. You're trying to use logic on a subject that is illogical. It's not that God is illogical. He's just more than logic.
Yeah.
It's the difference between your conscious and your unconscious. Your unconscious knows everything, but it doesn't tell you. It just gives you hints. Why are they hints, and why won't it just tell you? Number one, your unconscious speaks a different language. It doesn't use letters. It uses pictures. That's why we dream. We dream in pictures. But what do the pictures mean? Now you're trying to understand it logically. It's not logic. It's two different languages. You're trying to use logic, which is one form of language, to communicate with pictures that are another form of thought. You will integrate it. You will find the balance. You will learn how to do that. But you can't logically explain it. And that's what you're trying to do because that's what you've been taught since you were a little girl. That's what the experience your friend had when he went into these other places, other dimensions, whatever word you want to call them. And he experienced what he experienced, but he can't verbalize it. He can't explain it to you because it's a picture in his head. And it doesn't fit the language.
So real, right?
Yes. Yes, and that's what's so scary to him. Because some of it is really very frightening, very scary, very overwhelming. And yes, it is all real, but it's not. It's real for the vessel who can handle that. Not all vessels are ready to handle it. And yet they find themselves receiving that picture. Because what, you know, the television waves that I'm affecting with the movement of my hand, we don't see how it's affected it. Used to be in the old days, you did this and your TV screen went blurry. You know, so we know we're affecting it, but we don't know how. We don't know how to fix it, how to change it. It's two different languages.
Yeah. But see, like, from the first lesson, it's like, we don't know what the reality is.
We don't.
But the true reality is something else, and it's all how it receives the limited samples we're going to see it. So really, listen, just, you know, when you take them, just go out to they change your brain so long you can't sleep. It's something else.
Correct. And it's very, very different than what you've been taught.
I had an experience, and it was like, it was very scary, so I'm probably going to go back again. Like
when you're ready.
I did the ayahuasca, like, three times, and one time was really, really, like, heavy. I didn't know what it meant, anything.
And it's, I don't know how many years ago it was, but you still don't know what it meant. You haven't integrated it into yourself.
Yeah.
And it, because you don't have the language to understand it, but the letters will become that language. I started to dream in Hebrew letters. Not that I understood them. Not that I spoke Hebrew. I started to dream pictures of Hebrew letters. Now I can integrate it. Now I understood what those dreams were telling me. At the time I had those dreams, I don't. I remember those dreams. But a lot of those dreams were looking through a veil. I couldn't see it clearly. It was a little blurry. Now I don't need it to be clear. Because I have the essence in a different way, in a balanced way. It will happen. You just have to go through the process, and the process is literally throwing away, not completely, but balancing the way you've been taught to think. hope everybody has a good evening.